I have an agenda, and my agenda is this: endeavoring to be a pastor. I want everyone that comes through that door to be able to make it to heaven. I want everyone that ever comes in this building, I want you to be able to get there. There's so many that have started, or thought about starting, or intended to get started on the way of living for the Lord, and have not made it. And my agenda is that you can make it, that you will make it. So my subject this morning that I'd like for us to look at is pretty basic. I just like to call it confidence. One of the most distressing things that can ever happen in my life, and probably in yours too, is to be in a situation where you're depending on someone that doesn't have confidence in what they're doing. I've been there where someone else's well-being was at the hands of someone that didn't have confidence. And it's very distressing. I remember one time being in a situation where someone that I really cared about was being cared for by someone that I could tell didn't know what they was doing. They weren't confident. And I observed that going on for a while, and I finally came to the point that I went to the person in charge of that department and I said, "Look, I'm a mechanic." And I said, "You come into my place of business," I said, "you can watch me for a little while and know whether I'm confident and know what I'm doing. You may not know how to do it, but you know whether I know what I'm doing." And I said, "I don't know what everybody's trying to do in here, but that person over there don't know what they're doing." And I said, "You need to get somebody over there that does know what they're doing." Now, I don't know about you, but a lack of confidence is very distressing. Have you ever, you've put me in a place where I'm unconfident is put me in the kitchen. And all of you that are proficient in the kitchen, when you're doing something and you know that the soup's too thin, or and you need whatever y'all do to make it thicker, and maybe you taste it while it's in the process, and I hear comments, "Well, this needs a little bit more of something." Well, I don't know what any of that is. And I do know that some of my boys will experiment with seasonings, and they just pull it out of the cabinet and they think, "Oh, that, yeah, let's try some of that." And they've made some stuff. Just recently, we came home to a big pot of spaghetti. And I never had spaghetti with beans in it before. And it had a very unique flavor. But it was just an experiment, okay? And there are times that if I'm put in that situation, I want to tell you, you're going to see me reading the recipe and looking at the measuring cup or whatever it is, and I'm going to be going back and forth. And you might be one of those that would say, "Hey, hold on just a minute. Get somebody over there that knows what they're doing. Because you're expecting us to eat this meal after a while, and it might not turn out so good. Because all I see him doing is he goes over and reads the book a while, and then he goes over and fumbles around with the stuff, and he goes back and forth, and he really don't know what he's doing." Now, that's what I would be like if you put me in the kitchen. If you put me in the kitchen and you tell me, "Move that pot from this spot to that spot," I can do that. I can pour stuff in and I can stir stuff. But you got to tell me how fast to stir it. Because sometimes if you stir stuff too fast, it don't turn out so well. And you need to let it set on the bottom for a little. And other times, if you don't really stir it, it sticks on the bottom. I know that. But you're going to have to tell me, stir it faster, stir it slower. turn the heat down, turn the heat. I don't know. Scrambling eggs is always a challenge for me. But there are things that I am confident about. There are things that I know what I'm doing temporarily. There are things that I feel comfortable in doing. And there are things that you feel comfortable in accomplishing and with your hands and with your minds. I don't feel confident in my singing. I come to service and I like to sit close to somebody that that I can harmonize with. I do much better that way. I can add some volume, but it's pretty hard for me to lead out on a part without somebody else doing it too. All right, I have to be really, really familiar with the song. Sometimes I, my wife gives me kind of a an expression, and I don't know, is it because I'm not in time with everybody else, or I'm just not singing the right note. It's not an area that I feel confident in. That's the point I'm trying to make. And there are others of you that I know, when you sing, it's just, I can tell you're confident. You know the note's right. Maybe everybody else is wrong, you see? But you're confident when you're singing that I'm singing the right word. And it means so much. Don't you like to take your needy situation to someone that's confident? I do. I'm so glad that I can take all of my troubles to the Lord, because I'm confident that He knows what to do with them. There are so many things that I don't know what to do about in life, but I know if I can get them to the Lord, and if I'm willing to turn loose of them and let Him work on them, that things will turn out for my good. It may not be turned out exactly like I want them at the time, but it'll turn out for my good. So I'm thinking about your confidence and my confidence. I want our young people to be confident in their vocations. I don't want them to be uncertain. I don't want them to be unsteady, unwavering. I want you to be able to proceed in life with confidence. In today's world, practical application many times is superseded by education to give confidence. But there's nothing like the combination of gaining knowledge, education, and then actually putting it into practice to build confidence. I'll tell you a story about my brother. I've told this several times before, but I'll tell it again. And it's because I feel like it illustrates confidence so well. My brother took an automotive vocational class when he was in high school. I'd already graduated. And they had taken an engine apart and put it back together and put it in the vehicle, all part of the process, and they got ready to hear it run. And the instructor come by, and he said to my brother, "Well, are you ready to try this thing?" And my brother said, "No, I'm ready to start it. And this, it's going to run." And the instructor said, "Well, we'll see. I've never seen any of you put it together and it run the first time." And my brother had everything adjusted, you know, preliminary adjustments. He reached in there and he twisted the key and it started right up. And the guy was impressed. But he did this with confidence. And the way he got the confidence, he'd got some training. He got some instruction. But what this man didn't know is we'd been working on things at the house. It wasn't just while he was at school and reading the books and telling them what to do. But we'd already done this at the house a number of times. And we'd already, the two of us together, had already figured out how to set the timing with a little test light and turn that distributor till the light goes out, we knew that we was within 2 degrees before we ever hit the starter. And he didn't know that, but my brother did. And he had confidence. He'd already tried it. He'd already proved it. Okay? So I want to bring these kind of things over into focus with why we're here this morning. Why did we come here? You come here to learn how to cook? No, I didn't come here to learn how to cook. I didn't come here to learn how to fix a car. I came here because I have an agenda. And my agenda is that I want all of us to be able to live for the Lord with confidence. I don't want you to be uncertain about whether I'm saved or not. I don't want you to be uncertain about whether or not God loves you. I don't want you to be uncertain about whether or not I have repented and asked forgiveness of my sins. I want you to be able to have confidence. And I want you to know that God's will is that we would have confidence. I'd like for us to turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is kind of in the middle of the Bible. I'd like to look about in the middle of the book of Isaiah, 30th chapter. Isaiah was a prophet. We consider him a major prophet. He came during the time that the kingdom of Israel and Judah were both still intact. It was a divided kingdom, but they were still intact. But his ministry, his prophecies began before the nation of Israel was overcome by the Assyrians and carried off captive. And in the 30th chapter, we find him reprimanding the people for being rebellious against God, for allowing themselves to get so far away from the Lord. And he also told them there was consequences coming because of their lack of devotion to the one true God. But I want to read a verse about in the middle of this chapter, in the 15th verse. And I want us to focus on just a few words in this verse. He says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." The point he's making is that God has a plan for the Israelites back then. He has a plan for spiritual Israel today. He's got a plan for each one of us. He says that plan is, in returning in rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. I pray this morning that all of us will get a hold of the importance of having confidence and how to go about getting it, and not be like the Israelites back then that would not. They would not avail themselves of the techniques that empowered them to have confidence. There's techniques about going about having confidence today. You can read all the recipe books, and you could observe other people preparing food and all of that, but you will not have confidence until you really get down there and start preparing it yourself. And when you get to applying the recipes and you begin to actually doing it yourself and learning what it takes to make the food turn out. And some of the time, it's not so much the ingredients or how you mix it up or what kind of pan you put it in. Sometimes it's knowing when to take it off of the heat. You know, I don't know how to tell when cookies and cake is done. I don't know. So there's something about sticking a fork or a toothpick in stuff and pulling it out. And I don't know what that means. Some of y'all do. But I'm going to tell you, before you can understand how that works, you're going to have to experiment with it. But some of you, I know, have done it enough that you know whether it's done or not. You know when to pull it off of the fire. You know whether just to turn the oven off and leave the door gapped open a little bit, or to hurry up and pull it out and set it on the side somewheres. And I don't. I'm just clueless when it comes to that. But the Lord wants you and I to have confidence with Him. He wants us to be able to read our title clear. He wants us to get engaged in living for Him. If we're just going along and watching how somebody else does, I'm going to tell you, I've never tried to lead singing, all right? I talked about that a minute ago. And if I was ever forced to do so, it would be quite an experience. And it would take some adjustment. But I'm sure that with experimenting with that, there could be some confidence that would come. All right? And you're going to have to get your feet wet. You're going to have to get engaged in how do I get the victory over these kind of troubles and these kind of... Where do I find the answers to my questions? How do I know the Lord has heard my prayer? How do I pray through? Anybody ever heard that expression before? What does it mean to pray through?
Pray till you pray.
Pray till you pray, somebody. Well, what does that mean? I'm going to tell you, it's a little different than the toothpick test in your baking. It's a little different than taking the test light and turning that distributor until that engine is in time. It's a little different than that. But there's still a realization that I have prayed until there is no obstacles in my heart. There's no obstacles in my mind. There is nothing that I will not lay down. There is nothing that I will hold back from the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, when you pray through like that, the Lord is going to witness to you, like He talked about in the 8th chapter of Romans, where He says, "My spirit will bear witness with your spirit that ye are," what? "The sons of God." And when that happens, we can proceed with confidence. I know that I prayed through. I know that I didn't say everything but. I know I prayed all. And we can proceed with confidence knowing that we're forgiven. Knowing that whatever happens, the Lord is in control. And then we can proceed in our walk in life with confidence. I'd like to turn to 1 Kings. And I'd like to say that sometimes you may run into somebody that appears to have confidence and they really don't. You've seen some folks that came across as overly confident. Maybe they promised you something that couldn't be delivered. Had a man come in, told me one time he was trying to sell me this tool. And in the process of selling me this tool, he told me that the drill bits that was included in this tool had a lifetime warranty. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty handy at breaking drill bits. I said, "You mean if I break this thing or it gets dull, you're going to give me a new one?" He said, "Yes." I said, "All right, I'm going to buy your tool." I bought his tool, and sure enough, I broke the drill bit. Come around, I told him, I said, "Hey, I need some more drill bits for my tool." And he ordered them and come in and packaged three little old drill bits about this long, 1/8 inch. Three of them. $38. I said, "Man, that's... you told me they was free." And he came across as confident. But when it got right down to it, he didn't know what he's talking about. Now, I'll notice a verse here in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter and the 12th verse. He says, "And after the earthquake, a fire." This is where Elijah had run from Jezebel, and he was feeling pretty desperate. Maybe we'll start again in the 9th verse. And he says, "And he came thither into a cave,
and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What dost thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rock before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. That's where confidence is a still, small voice. You know, there are those around us that want to say, Look, the Lord is with us. Can't you feel the shaking? Can't you see the smoke? Can't you see the fire? But do they have the witness of the still, small voice? We live in a society today that has a lots of entertainment incorporated in what they call worship service. And they do this to get people's emotions so hyped up that they can't hear the still small voice. Elijah said, I seen all of this stuff, but the Lord wasn't in that. But there was something that came along that gave him confidence, and it was a still small voice. And I want to tell you today, I like feeling encouraged and I like feeling enthused. But I'm going to tell you, every time I've been on the mountaintop, I know that there's usually a low spot lurking out there somewheres. And in the times of the low spots, I need the still small voice. I need the Lord's Spirit bearing witness with my spirit. Lord, when I look over my past, I look over my life, when I consider Psalms 139 where he says, Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any wicked way in me. When you face accusations and when you face rejection and when you face those things that make you feel crushed in life, and all of us were going to face those. I'm not telling you that if you give your heart to the Lord that everything is going to be perfect. You're going to face some difficulties. But know how to pray through. Know how to hear and know what to listen for in that still small voice. And when that still small voice speaks to you and says, I still love you. You haven't violated your integrity with me. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that's what builds our confidence. I know in the midst. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. He told his wife told him, Why don't you just curse God and die? And Job said, You speak as a foolish woman. How many of us husbands here today would dare to tell our wives, You speak as a foolish woman? I'm going to tell you, you better have a still small voice if you do. You better have something you're standing on if you tell your wife, You speak as a foolish woman. Because I'm going to tell you, if your confidence is not based on something, you're getting ready to have some distress. But it's important for us to have a confidence with the Lord. I can't back up on Him. I know where I'm standing with Him. And you know, when we have confidence with God, we'll be able to go forward in the times of distress, in the times of rejection, in the times of feeling like everything has been knocked away from us. We'll be able to go forward. But the devil wants to undermine our confidence. He wants us to feel distraught. Oh, the lights went out. The power went off. The emotions are down. All of those things. And the devil wants to capitalize on that and cause you to feel like, well, might as well just give up. Nothing to it anyway. That's just what he wants you to do. But right during those times, we can say, No. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I will not give up. I will not turn loose. Another place Job said that he escaped by what? The skin of his teeth. That's the scripture. That's not some kind of colloquial expression. I'd like to turn to 1 John, the third chapter. Give us another little nugget here, I hope, that'll help us recognize whether we have confidence in God or not. 1 John, the third chapter. I'm going to read verse 21, if I can find it. He says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." If our heart condemn us not. What's he talking about? Is he talking about you can just make up your own religion? You can believe what you want to? I beg to differ with you. I believe what he's talking about is that when we begin to search our hearts, as the psalmist David did, and he said, "Search me, O Lord. You know my down sitting. You know where I come from. You knew me when when I was being formed in my mother. You knew me back then. You have known me all of my life. You know the thoughts and intents of my heart. Search me, O Lord." And when we come to the Lord like that, we'll say, "Lord, what can I do that's different?" He says, in those kind of times, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence. You know what confidence will enable us to do? It'll enable us to rebuke the devil. It'll enable us to defy all of the discouraging elements that the devil wants to bring into our hearts and lives. In 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, the last verse I'd like to read to you today, 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 33, he says here, "For God is not the author of confusion." God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, and as in all churches of the saints. If you feel confused today, I'm going to tell you it's pretty hard to be confused and confident at the same time. I've been confused. I've been confused as to knowing whether I was doing the right thing or not. I've been confused as to knowing where my trouble lied. Maybe in my personal life and maybe in things that I was trying to fix. I've been distressed. I've made wrong decisions in all aspects of my life. But I'm thankful for the Lord's mercy and His help in my times of error in myself. And He says here that God is not the author of confusion. I want to tell you, if you feel confused and dazed and disoriented, don't make any life-changing decisions during that time. Don't agree to some long-term project when you feel dazed and confused. Don't do that. It's time to realize that God is not the author of this confusion. It's time to go back and say, "Lord, search me. What is it? What's causing all of my confusion? How do I know where I stand before you?" It's time to pray through again. Have you ever prayed through after you got saved? I recommend it. You find yourself in a place in your life where maybe circumstances and events have crowded in on you. And maybe you feel oppressed by disappointments and discouragements and things. I'll encourage you to pray till you know you've prayed through. And say, "Lord, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know where I'm supposed to go." But pray through until you get the confidence of knowing that the Lord is witness to you. And I'm going to tell you, when that happens, it'll be like the song that we sing that talks about the mist of confusion clearing away. And we can proceed with confidence. It's nothing. I'll tell you something about my dad. A few of you knew my dad, not very many now, but he's been gone for 20 years. But until my dad, until not long before he passed away, he done a lot of things that scared my mother. He didn't do it to scare her. He done it in confidence. I don't know if I ever seen my dad fall. All right? I tried to scare him numerous times. I would hide behind the door when I seen his truck. I was a little boy. I'd hide behind the door when I'd see his truck that he drove to work come around the corner. He didn't know I was even in the house. I would hide behind the door and almost hold my breath till he came through the door, and I'd jump out and holler boo at him, and he'd say, "Oh, hi." I never got him to jump. And I remember he was one of those people that if he throwed a board out across something that was 6 inches off the ground and stepped on it, then it'd hold him up. Then it didn't matter if it was 20 foot in the air, it'd hold him up there too. He would just step out on it, walk out, climb the tree, pull his chainsaw up, stand on a limb up there, start that chainsaw and reach out and be trimming trees up there, standing on a limb. My mom would just have to go in the house. I never seen him fall out of the tree. One time his ladder blew down off of the building and he couldn't get my mother's attention, so he jumped off the roof, but he didn't fall. You know, there was a lot of things that my dad was confident in, but I seen him struggle in other areas that he wasn't confident in. And all of us here this morning have areas that you feel confident in. Maybe you know. Well, anybody can scramble eggs. Well, maybe you think so, but not really. Maybe you think anybody can do this, but there's probably somebody that's not confident in that area. But my agenda today is I want us to be confident in our experience with the Lord. And if you're not, ask the Lord to search your heart. Pray until you know that you've cleared the air. Pray until you know that everything is all right. God is not going to just be in the earthquakes and the fires. He's going to be in that still small voice that says, "You are my son. You are my daughter. You are my child." Maybe we could sing number 106. Maybe we could stand as we sing.